KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 66 degrees in Atlantic. We look for areas of fog through mid-morning, otherwise partly to mostly sunny skies today. A high of 83. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A fire in downtown Des Moines early this morning has resulted in injuries to at least three firefighters. The injuries were not believed to be life-threatening. The Des Moines Register, citing social media posts by the Des Moines Association of Professional Firefighters, said crews spent more than 4 hours dealing with the fire and widespread smoke, which appeared to be in the Equitable Building at 604 Locust Street. At least five fire trucks were on the scene before 1 a.m. Additional units and firefighters worked in the area later. By around 3:30 a.m., fire officials requested assistance from the West Des Moines Fire Department. Crews told their supervisors and dispatchers that they were having difficulty reaching and extinguishing a part of the blaze in a mechanical area between the floors of the building. Dispatchers also noted reports of smoke at the hub or the hub tower, which are connected to the Equitable Building by Skywalk. Hub tower is across the street from the former Yonkers building, which was devastated by a massive fire in March. The agribusiness, owned by Board of Regents President Bruce Rastetter, was awarded $480,000 in no-interest loans from an Iowa State University-run program months after he joined the school's governing board. Records obtained by the Associated Press show the loans from the Iowa Energy Center helped Summit Farms LLC finance the cost of installing large wind turbines at its corporate office and two hog confinements. Rastetter owns the Alden-based corporation, which grew out of his family farm. The turbines were expected to generate $44,000 in annual energy savings for Summit Farms. Iowa State officials say Rastetter's company received no special treatment and that the loans were approved because the projects qualified. One critic said the loans give the appearance of a conflict. A Chinese woman charged in what federal prosecutors say was a conspiracy to steal trade secrets from U.S. seed corn companies is seeking to separate her case from her brother's, and she wants a trial held as quickly as possible. The attorney for Mo Yun filed documents in federal court in Des Moines Thursday. Mo wants a separate trial from her brother, Mo Heilong, because his trial will be more complex and will take longer. Mo Young wants her trial as soon as December 1st so she can prove her innocence and get back to her children and family in China. She's one of seven people connected to Chinese agriculture biotechnology company DBN Group, who prosecutors say stole patented seed corn to try and reproduce its traits. In other news, a Catholic priest from Northwest Iowa is back at home after spending most of his summer bicycling across the United States. Father Kevin Richter of the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Lamars rode 3,836 miles as he crossed 14 states in 68 days. And he averaged 68.5 miles a day. Richter said that during the toughest stretch of the trip, he covered only 28 miles on one day through the Appalachian Mountains.
For half of Kentucky and half of Virginia, you just keep going uphills and downhills and uphills and downhills, and that gets wearing after a while. That probably nearly broke me at one point.
Richter divided his journey into two halves, traveling east from Lamars to Yorktown, Virginia, and from there he flew to Portland, Oregon, and rode his bike back to Lamars. Oddly enough, Richter said the worst weather he rode through was in Iowa on June the 9th.
The day I left, when I was riding between Lawton and Bronson, it was raining hard, and I think with hard rain, that's it for the whole trip, other than a few days where it was sprinkling. So I really did miss the rain. It throws you for a loop when it's that early.
Richter took a summer sabbatical to make the trip. On many nights, he either camped out under the stars or slept in motels. On a few occasions, he would spend the evening at a church or with host families. Richter made the journey by himself, had 13 flat tires, and lost 25 pounds. Well, the last holiday weekend of the summer is upon us, and more Iowans are expected to be on the road this Labor Day as compared to last year. Rose White at AAA Iowa says holiday travel should be picking up nationwide.
Across the country, we're expecting that travel will be up about 1.3% from last year, with about 34.7 million Americans taking trips 50 miles or more away from home. In fact, this will be the highest level of Labor Day travel that we've seen in 6 years.
Most people who are taking trips for the holiday will be traveling by car, about 86%, according to the Motor Club's survey.
If you're traveling by car, you will see some lower fuel prices that will help make the trip more affordable. Some will see lowest prices for this holiday weekend since 2010. Now, although we did see an increase in the Midwest fuel prices over the last few weeks, They are now right now on a downturn.
U.S. oil production is at a record high level, and since winter-grade fuel is cheaper to produce, White said prices at the pump should continue to drop as we head into fall.
In Iowa, prices right now are below the national average. In Iowa, you can expect to pay about $3.33 for self-serve unleaded. A year ago, that price was at $3.52.
The survey finds Iowa's most expensive gas is in Des Moines at $3.36 a gallon, while it's cheapest in Sioux City at $3.22. The Iowa Department of Transportation is in the final phase of determining if traffic cameras in six cities meet the requirements of new state rules that began in February. DOT Director of Traffic and Safety Steve Gent says they've finished the review of the reports required of the cities and they still have some questions. There's an issue with the speed cameras, for instance, in I-380 in Cedar Rapids.
At this point, we really just need to gather more information. There appears to be possibly an issue here in Cedar Rapids that we need to be dealing with, and that came about by looking at their review, but yeah, so we're that's probably the one that's the biggest concern right at the moment.
Gant says the issue involves the speed zones near the cameras.
Where we're looking for more information is whether or not the speed cameras on I-380, the interstate right through town, if they're located within 1,000 feet of a lower speed limit. That's one of the requirements in the administrative rule.
Gant said they also had an issue with the Sioux City report.
Sioux City did not provide us before crash data, and any time you're looking at a safety enhancement, you always look at the crashes before the enhancement was put in place and then crashes afterwards. And, of course, that was required by the rule, and not sure why they didn't submit that, but we need more information.
Other questions involved the before and after crash data for two cameras in Davenport, questions about crashes and violations for each intersection in Muscatine, and concerns raised about the number of red light violations for an intersection in Des Moines. Gant says the rules are designed to be sure the cameras are used on state-controlled roadways to enhance safety. That's what they're trying to determine in the review.
These traffic cameras, you know, they're okay as long as they're absolutely, and people have to believe that they are for safety. If people believe that they're a money-making scheme, well, then it's a terrible situation. That's not about what our government is supposed to do.
He hopes to wrap up the issue before the end of the year to determine if all the cameras are in compliance.
The emails were sent out last week for more information, and we asked for that information back within a month. Certainly by the end of the year, hopefully we'll have all of these resolved. When we have issues, we're going to sit down with the cities and have a conversation, make sure we understand all the issues, and make sure they understand all the issues, and we'll work together on coming to a resolution.
Other cities had cameras on state roads but decided to make changes. Clive decided to shut down its camera in June. Windsor Heights and Fort Dodge decided only to place their speed cameras on local roadways, which are not covered by DOT rules. It's the last summer holiday weekend and the last chance for many people to spend time on their boats. Luann McCracken of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said you should be sure to have a life jacket on hand for everyone. She says it's not just enough to have it in the boat, you need to put it on.
It's not a burden to wear a life jacket. If you find a good, comfortable, Coast Guard-approved life jacket, PFD, and you'll want to wear it to keep you safe and for everyone that in your family that you care about.
McCracken is a natural resource specialist who works on the Mississippi River. She says each year a number of boating accidents claim lives because someone fell into the water and underestimated their swimming ability. And sometimes swimming isn't even an option, especially on rivers like the Mississippi.
You could have bumped your head on your way out. You could have had a medical condition that has caused you to fall out. If you say you pass out for any number of reasons. You hit something submerged in the water, you could possibly be bumped out of your boat. And the Mississippi River is just ever-changing. It's such a dynamic river.
McCracken says 9 of the 10 people who drowned in the lakes and river last year were not wearing a life jacket. She also says because the Mississippi is such a vast body of water, conditions can vary on different sections of the river. What may be safe in one location could pose a danger elsewhere. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a new health care law could become an issue at tax time next year. Without a new form from their insurance exchange, people won't be able to file their income taxes. Some tax professionals are worried that federal and state insurance marketplaces won't be able to get those forms out in time, creating the risk of delayed refunds. Texas vows a quick appeal of a federal judge's ruling that put the state's tough abortion restrictions on hold. The judge found efforts to hold abortion clinics to hospital-level operating standards are unconstitutionally restrictive. The law was to take effect Monday. Lawmakers say the measure would protect women's health. A cardiology conference in Barcelona is hearing about a first-of-its-kind drug for heart failure that cut the chances of death or hospitalization by about 20% in tests. The drug, made by Switzerland-based Novartis, does not have a name yet and is just called LCZ-696. If it wins federal approval, doctors say it could quickly change care for more than half of the 6 million Americans and 24 million people worldwide with heart failure. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Ivan Lee Lund, age 71, of Anita, died Tuesday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Ivan Lund will be today at 10:30 at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita is in charge of the arrangements. Daniel Chapman, age 15, of Harlan, died Monday. Funeral services for Daniel Chapman will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Nadine Ann Kinkle, age 56, of Erling, died Monday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Nadine Kinkle will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Wendell Lynch, age 86, of Exira, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Wendell Lynch will be today at 1:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Betty Mae Fenn, age 84, of Oakland and formerly of Carson, died Wednesday at Allegiant Creighton Health Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Services for Betty Mae Fenn will be today at 2 o'clock at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Lois Marie Query White, age 94, of Iowa City, died August 19th. Graveside services for Lois White will be today at 3 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. The Lansing Funeral and Cremation Service of Iowa City is in charge of the arrangements. Vernon Robert King, age 78, of Adair, died August 14th at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Vernon King will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic is assisting the family. E. Wallace Wally Dick, age 89, of Stewart, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Wally Dick will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Laverne Joy DeWitt, age 84, of Red Oak and formerly of Griswold, died Thursday at the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital in Red Oak. Funeral services for Laverne DeWitt will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Ariel LaBelle Jensen, age 97, of Sun City, Arizona, died Wednesday at the Bethany Assisted Living Facility in Sun City. Graveside services for Ariel Jensen will be on Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the Layton Township Cemetery at Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has the arrangements. Dorothy Forsman, age 98, of Panora and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Friday. Funeral services for Dorothy Forsman will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Guthrie Center Church of Christ. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. And Opal Lenore Bishop, age 96, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Opal Bishop will be Wednesday at 3 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.